Today's episode of Fantasy Fiction is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at audibletrial.com/fantasyfiction. Over 100,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Kindle, MP3 player, or Magic Stone. Today we're recommending The Eye of the World, Book 1 of The Wheel of Time by Robert Jordan. It's a 30-hour book, people. Think of the value. Once again, that's audibletrial.com/fantasyfiction for your free audiobook download. And if they ask, tell them Snickerdoodle sent you. Reese's can suck it.
In the land of fantasy, on the fields of fiction, there rode two knights across the plains. Two thieves of the night, two warriors of honor, in the shadow of the mountain cry their name.
Until the deed is done.
Fantasy Fiction.
Until the quest is won.
Fantasy Fiction.
The battle's in our minds.
Fantasy Fiction.
Until the end of time.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Fantasy Fiction. My name is Dominic.
My name is Joe.
And today we have Tales for You, Threads Spun by a Spider
Wearing a Top Hat.
And guess what that top hat was made out of?
Spider web.
He knew. Our prompts this week, guys, are ships suggested by Flounderboy 15 and mummies suggested by Chameleon Tux.
That's a great, those are two great names.
Yeah, two great names.
Flounder
two
Boy. Great,
Chameleon Boys, Flounder Boys. Those prompts were pulled from YouTube. So if you're listening to this on YouTube and you have a prompt for us, leave it in the comments.
Write a prompt. Let me hear it. Write a prompt.
Let me hear your prompt. What is that sound like? What is that song? How's that song go? Where it's like, nay, watch me.
Watch me, nay, nay. Yeah, yeah.
Watch me, nay, nay.
Watch me whip.
We watch were me prompt.
We were singing it this
watch
weekend.
Me pick them.
Watch me pick them.
Now break your leg. I think it's so funny that there's a song that just telling people to break their leg.
Yeah.
Like, over and over again. It just, the context of it is kind of funny. But those prompts were pulled from YouTube, guys, and they were voted on by our Patreon supporters. Guys,
yeah.
If you want to support Fantasy Fiction, you can stop by patreon.com/fantasyficpod. And when you get there, you can choose to pledge how much you want to pledge, how much you want to give the show. And guys, there are rewards involved. And anyone who pledges gets to vote on next week's prompts.
Service guarantees citizenship.
You said it.
That's what they say in that movie.
What is it? Diplomatic Immunity. That's that other movie.
What movie is that?
Dude, Lethal Weapon.
Oh, Lethal Weapon 2. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, well, I there was a Lethal Weapon 3 pinball machine.
Yes.
That my friend had, and had samples from the movie on it.
Yeah.
And it was Joe Pesci going, okay, okay.
Okay.
And then also, Diplomatic Immunity. That's all. Another one of them.
That's the sound that they wanted in their pinball machine.
It's pretty great. It's a pretty great pinball machine. There's an advertisement, if you let it play, there's an advertisement for Tales from the Crypt pinball, which is supposed to be awesome.
Did pinball machines, like, advertise for other pinball machines?
Oh, yeah. Data East once, they had the little light board.
Yeah.
And if you just let it play, like, without putting coins in, it's like, coming soon.
That's so funny.
So funny. I love pinball.
Dude,
so
I used to be really good at it, and then, like, I don't know, I just... My parents stopped sadly taking me to bars with them. That's how I got good at it. I would just play pinball like all night. Because like, when you're 8, you can't drink that much.
Yeah, you're just breathing in secondhand smoke and just slowly dying while you're trying to get this silver ball up a ramp.
I'm just trying to get home and do my homework, but you know I got to sit at this bar.
Got to get good at this game first. Josh, I gotta ask you, man, what did you do this week?
Oh, yeah. So I had, like, gotten called for jury duty.
Oh, not just jury duty.
Federal jury duty.
And that happened on Monday, which is part of the reason why this episode was delayed, but not entirely.
Yeah, the other part of all these stories weave together like a fine tapestry. Like, so apparently, since we were busy all weekend, you and I, Dom, apparently I got like a note from them on Saturday, but I wasn't home like all weekend, so I didn't see that I didn't have to go on Monday.
Oh, really? Did they? Oh, because you sent in kind of like a thing that said, yeah. I can't make it, right?
Yeah, I was like, I can't like come to jury duty because I'd like have a life that I need to do things in. And so apparently they sent me the thing and I didn't know. So like, they're just like, you don't need to be here. And I'm like,
oh.
I'm like, all right. But they're like, we like postponed you. And I was like, postponed? I was like, can you like just like cancel it? Can you just like not have me come anymore?
You should just call and be like, hi, I'd like to delete my reservation.
Yeah, can
just see if they'll be like, okay, we can take you off the list.
Yeah, can I just never get a call from you?
Like, yeah, never. Can justice just work without me?
Yeah, find another guy, like in that movie with John Cusack. And
Absence of Malice.
Is that the movie?
No.
No. When we're Runaway Jury. Find the Runaway Jury.
Is the Runaway Jury about a guy trying to dodge jury duty? I hope so, man. I want to make that movie.
So they're like, well, you'll like get a call or whatever like later. And I was like, no!
Oh, no.
So we'll see. I'll just keep sending them letters and being like, I can't do it. Because it's true. Like, I don't work at a place where I'm like, oh, I have to take off. Like, I am the work.
Yeah, we work for ourselves. Yeah. So if we can't do it, you know, there's, I don't know, how do you charge a rate to that? Because they're supposed to cover, like, your time missing from work, you know?
Yeah, federal's like $40 a day, but like,
oh, wow.
Like, $40 a day is, like, $4 an hour.
Yeah, like, pretty crazy.
Like, that's not very good.
Well, at least if you get called up for federal jury duty, at least the case will be interesting, and you'll have to make, like, a hard decision that makes you question your morals.
Yeah, I'll get to question everything I believe in.
Mm-hmm. And who doesn't want that? That's a real experience.
Which is fun as hell, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm. I hope they give me Snoop Dogg in 1994, Murder Was the Case that they gave me. I hope I get that one.
Oh, because then you could be like, oh, I'm part of this song.
Yeah.
Yeah, this song's kind of like about me, kind of. Guys, I'm back in Pennsylvania, by the way.
Yes.
Just as a heads up, if you hear people riding by on their motorcycles, it's because I'm back in Pennsylvania.
Nobody loves motorcycles like people in Southeast Pennsylvania, man.
Yeah, man, dude. Riding them hogs.
Wild Hogs.
Yeah, dude. Tim Allen was in that movie.
He was.
Do you remember when they made that movie Old Dogs?
Oh, yeah, where it was like, was it Danny Glover and Robin Williams was in it, I think?
I think it was Robin Williams and John Travolta.
Yeah, John Travolta. And was it Danny Glover or was somebody else? I'm looking it up.
Well, the thing is that they were going to make Wild Hogs 2.
Yeah.
Because that was the same director, I think. It bombed so hard that they canceled Wild Hogs 2.
Danny Glover wasn't in this movie, but he should have been.
He's in Gone Fishing with Joe Pesci.
They were best friends after Lethal Weapon 3. They're like, we're best friends now.
Yeah, what do you say we do another one of these old, funny, gaggy comedy guys? Because Lethal Weapon is totally a funny gag comedy thing.
Yes.
Anyway.
I know what you did this weekend, but I am going to ask you for continuity reasons.
Okay, what did I do this weekend? Guys, I flew back to PA for a shoot. We had an opportunity through the Continue channel to produce a little show.
We've been working on it for not that long, actually. It's really fast.
It all kind of happened pretty quickly, right? Like, in August, we got the okay to submit some material for it, and then we quickly had to write it, and then we quickly had to submit that and get that approved.
Yeah.
And then it was like, okay, here is the budget. go make a thing in 2 weeks or something like
that.
Yeah,
something ridiculous. And we're not done completely, but
yeah, it's not done completely, but at the end of the month it will go up on the Continue Show channel, I believe. And
I think that's correct, yes.
I think people will enjoy it. I think it's I feel really good about it.
It's funny. It's if I do say so ourselves, it's pretty funny. If you like this show, you might like what's coming out.
you might like the humor is very much the same tone, and there's a song in it.
Yes,
there's a couple songs. The song that was written for this, I wrote the lyrics, and I wrote the lyrics in the same amount of time that it took to type them down on the page.
Which is how the best songs are written.
That's how Sweet Child of Mine was written. Did you know that?
And the riff, too.
Yeah. They were like, let's just try it once. Boom. Yeah. It was done.
That was it. Yep.
I don't know if that's the real story, but that's the story I'm selling you.
That's what they say.
I also played, because I've been traveling, I listened to a few podcasts, guys. I listened to This American Life, guys. Yeah. It's, and maybe that isn't a legit podcast because it's a real radio show, but it's listen to some This American Life. Learn yourself something.
Yeah, it's a great show. It reminds me of going to the shore and listening to it.
Did I tell you about the concept for the one episode that I listened to?
No.
It was about things that were too soon, and they covered a O.J. Simpson prank show made in 2003 called Juiced.
Yeah, you did tell me. I remember hearing about this, like, when it was happening, like, because OJ was like, I'm making a comeback, and his comeback was like not, it wasn't gonna happen. You know what?
Well, yeah, his comeback was like this show, and then a few years later, the If I Did It book
that came out.
That was crazy. That stuff was crazy. But anyway, it's worth listening to. This American Life, Too Soon. You can find it on iTunes or their website. Just Google This American Life. It'll come up, you folks.
Yeah, it's you'll find it.
But I also, because I was traveling, I brought along my Game Boy SP, which is the best for playing Game Boy and Game Boy Color games.
Yeah.
And I started Link's Awakening DX.
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever played that game?
No, I haven't played it. I don't have a Game Boy.
It's awesome. I got it when I got my Game Boy Color, which was the first Game Boy I actually owned.
That was I had an original Game Boy, and then I had a purple Game Boy Color. It was
dude,
awesome.
I had the purple one, too. I wanted the see-through purple, but those
I got
sold
see-through
out.
Purple, yeah.
Damn!
Yeah,
I just had solid purple. And looking back on it, I kind of like the solid purple more.
Yeah, we should have traded. We could have
traded. We could have traded. We didn't know each other. You lived in Quakertown.
Yeah. I played it in study hall in 10th grade. We played Pokemon over the link, over the little...
Oh, yeah, link cable?
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
That's cool.
Link's Awakening, I played it all the way through in 6th grade. I think it was 6th grade when I got it. But I played it all the way through, and I loved it, and I bought it recently at a yard sale. And I've been playing through it, and it's so good. It's awesome.
Dude.
It's super weird. Because, there's chomps in it, from Mario.
Oh, really?
There's a Yoshi doll, and, they reference the Yoshi doll. They're like, oh, a Yoshi doll. He's been showing up in so many games recently. It's, super meta, the game. It's so strange, but it's so good. It's such a great game.
He's
and the music
been showing
is...
up a lot lately.
Yeah, yeah. It's like, what are you commenting on? What is this game?
Yeah,
but I remember when I was a kid in my cousin's trailer, because my cousin lived in the trailer park, he had a Game Boy with that game, and we would chop the chickens up until they got real pissed at us.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we would do that, and that was funny to us. but also, we were playing it one day, and then my cousin took out a Sharpie and just started drawing on his Game Boy, and he drew all this ooze coming off of all the buttons, and it was so cool.
Dude, he's tattooing his Game Boy.
Yeah, it was pretty dope.
That's what people should do. Do people do that? Have they should have graffiti artists paint on their Game Boys.
Well, I've seen custom Nintendos out there.
Yeah, there's custom Nintendos.
Those are pretty popular.
Yeah.
But I'm sure they're out there somewhere. I just haven't seen too many of them. But I love the original Game Boy, the big toaster.
The big one, yeah.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah.
But that's what I did this week. And before we get started here, guys, we have a friend who runs a great Etsy store. It's called Nerd Props. Nerd Props, cute handmade jewelry and funny t-shirt designs. They also make custom earrings and jewelry, so you can send in your requests for things. I just was looking around on their Etsy page. They got some awesome mouse earrings, octopus earrings, blue lobster earrings. I think they're cute. I think they're adorable. Mm-hmm. You can check them out at nerdprops.etsy.com. Nerd Props, cool stuff for people who don't like regular stuff, all right? Because regular stuff, let me tell you right now, can get lost. Take a hike. You know, regular things.
There's a sweet woolly mammoth shirt. I would buy the hell out of that.
Well, do you see the pun on there?
Woolly Nelson.
Woolly Nelson. Do you see his cool braids?
He also doesn't pay his taxes.
He doesn't. He doesn't pay his taxes. But you know what? Because he's extinct. But you can check that out at nerdprops.etsy.com. And guys, what do you say we get into some fantasy here?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. Mummies and ships, come and kiss my lips.
Oh, gonna suck my tits. Yeah.
Whoa. Yeah. Getting into it. You know what? I was looking around on that website, Josh, and I just got to say this.
Uh-huh.
When is it going to be okay for guys to wear cool earrings?
I think it is. I think we're...
You're right. You're absolutely right.
I think, you know, I have an earring hole. Not many people probably know that.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's still there. I got an ear pierce. I did
nice.
That. So I'm going to get... Can I get one mouse earring?
Yeah, can you order only one? I'm sure you could. I'm sure she could whip that up for you.
I would get two, because then you'd have an extra in case you break it or something.
That's a good idea.
Yeah. I'm going to order it right now. Let's pause the show and order this.
You're just going to be rocking that mouse earring.
Yeah.
I support it fully.
There's dragon earrings, dude? Come on.
Oh, there's dragon earrings on there? I didn't even see that.
Yeah, they're pretty sweet.
Well, that's pretty dope.
All right, Dom. Are you ready for my story?
I am ready. I'm here. I'm sitting here.
Okay, my story is called Pirates of Whitebeard Return to Mummy Island.
Oh my god, Mummy Island?
Yeah.
I'm into this.
Without giving anything away. Or actually giving everything away. The 69 Seas of Daranos are a trifling ass bitch who you do not fuck with because they are on the rag 69-7 and twice during the month of menstruary.
Menstruary.
But you know what they say, red sky at night, sailor's delight. Red sky in the morning, sailors best be washing the fuck out because that sky is period blood.
but at night, sailor's delight.
Yeah.
That's different.
It's different.
What is it at night?
Period blood.
It's like, okay.
But it's
just
nighttime.
It's just a delightful. It's just,
yeah, you don't see it. It's darker. It's
gotcha.
Yeah. Captain Whitebeard, legendary double amputee and half-dicked ghost pirate, was no stranger to the flowing menstrual mood swings of Mother Ocean. Some even say he was an expert at riding the crimson waves of her bountiful yet unforgiving Charybdis-like pussy hole.
Wait, the seas?
Yeah, Mother Sea.
Oh, okay, all right.
Mother Ocean. I don't know.
Mother Ocean.
Like Mother Earth. Father Ocean? I don't know.
No, Mother Ocean.
I think it's, yeah.
They're all mothers.
Yeah, everything's a mother all the time. Look alive there, men! We're coming up on some rough seas, shouted the captain ironically because his whole crew were ghosts. Land ho! Shouted a ghost pirate from the crow's nest who had double eye patches on. How did he even get that job? That's like the one thing you need to be able to do when you're in the crow's nest. Hard work. That's how. Never let anything keep you down, not even having no eyes or having no eyes and being dead. As the ghost ship approached the island, all was quiet. The waves washed on the sandy shore like a period washes onto a sandy vagina. The ship slinked through the water quietly and cut the fog like a period cuts through the fog of a foggy vagina. "We'll finally get the treasure, boss," yelled the crow's nest pirate. "Good," Whitebeard said, smiling, "because my ghost disability is about to run out." As the ship approached the shore, all fucking shit broke loose like a pair of double hangers breaking loose from their sweater incarceration. The ground began to writhe as thousands of mummies pulled themselves out of the crumbling shores like a period pulls itself out of a crumbling vagina.
Whoa, what does that mean? Like someone got crushed?
I don't even know. I don't know. These things just write themselves now. I don't know.
Gotcha.
These mummies were fucking pissed. They stood on the shore and banged their weapons against their hollow chests, screaming what were probably racial slurs in their mummy language at the ghost ship.
So the mummies are just on the beach, ready for action.
They're just ready for a fucking fight, man.
God,
one
mummy Island
gave the ship the finger, but he didn't have a finger. So nobody knew what his meaningless gesture meant, but that one mummy did, and it made him feel better.
So he got, like, mummy mittens.
What's that?
He's got, like, mummy mittens because it's all wrapped.
Yeah.
Mummy mittens.
Poor guy. Sweet, sharp faces, ghost, Whitebeard said gravely as he unsheathed his sword. His pirates did the same as the mummy horde began to wade into the icy waters toward the ghost ship. They clawed and scratched at the hull as they pulled themselves up the ropes, which are always on the sides of boats for some reason. Like, they're called engines, you idiots. Invent one! Once the mummies got on board, they just started murking every damn buddy. Ghosts were dying all over the damn place without a hint of irony. A mummy put a ghost pirate into a headlock so fast his whole worldview was shifted. One ghost pirate stabbed a mummy with a cutlass, but nothing but sand spilled out of the wound. The mummy took the cutlass out of himself and then bent the ghost pirate over his knee and spanked his sorry ass silly. Whitebeard was busy fighting like six mummies when he looked over to see a dead ghost getting teabagged by a mummy who actually had his balls replaced with actual teabags. You gotta do what you gotta do.
Maybe he just really likes tea and would,
who doesn't?
Appreciates having that right there.
It's so convenient.
Mm-hmm.
We have to get out of here, Captain, screamed Crow's Nest Pirate as he pulled Whitebeard into a lifeboat, cut the ropes, and fell into the cold waters below with a splash. As they rowed toward the island, they saw the remainder of the crew just getting murdered the fuck to death. When the slaughter was over, the mummies celebrated by drinking all the ghosts' rum and putting on cool pirate hats of the dead and sword fighting with their swords, but they pretended that the swords were their dicks. It was a sword fight. With a sword fight. We got out of there just in time, Whitebeard said, relieved. As he looked back at his beloved ship and the mummies defiling it, a single ghostly tear ran down his face. Just then, the boat exploded for some reason. As they reached the shore, the horde of mummies surrounded them. The queen wishes to parley with you, ghost man, said their mummy leader. Soon the pirates were being escorted to the mummy queen's chamber, and then they arrived, and nothing important happened along the way. Captain!
Cut to
next scene. Maybe I edited some stuff out. You'll never know. Captain Whitebeard, said the queen from atop her golden chair. Mummy dogs lay panting next to her because they mummified every goddamn thing back then. Dogs,
they did.
Cats, girlfriend, everyone was getting fucking mummified.
Before I die, I have one wish.
Mummify everything. Mummify my loved ones.
Alive.
Even if they're alive, kill them. Dude, they were crazy. What brings you back here? Husband? The whole damn room full of mummies gasped, and one said, I knew it, from the back. I'm here for the treasure, my love, said Whitebeard matter-of-factly. I spent it all, dear husband, replied the queen, petting a mink scarf around her neck that was still alive because it, too, was mummified, and then it hissed at Whitebeard. Well, okay, Whitebeard said. Okay, then, said the queen. See you later, I guess. Good luck controlling your mummy army without your mummy scepter, said Whitebeard as he pulled a whip out and whip grabbed the queen's mind control scepter, which you just now found out about. Get him, shouted the queen as Whitebeard and Crow's Nest Pirate ran down a nearby tunnel. Where are we going, Captain? Asked Crow's Nest Pirate, worried. Always have a backup plan, kid, said Whitebeard, all cool like this was a movie. Whitebeard pulled a secret sconce lever on the wall, and a secret door opened. The mummies were shooting flaming arrows and flaming scorpions at them as Whitebeard threw Crow's Nest down the chute and then himself down. The two slid down a watery chute with mummies hot on their tail until finally they reached a giant underground cove and secret ship dock. Like I said, always have a backup plan, my boy, Whitebeard said smugly. Flaming arrows whizzed by them again as they boarded the ship. They worked frantically to ready the ship. How are we going to get out of here, Captain? There's no door to this cavern. Door to this cavern? Where we're going, we don't need no door to this cavern, he said, as suddenly the ceiling of the cave opened up and the ship began to fly upward because It wasn't a water ship, it was a sky ship. As they achieved flight, super cool wings deployed, and the airship looked so dope it'd make your mama say, damn boys, kinda wanna suck that ship's dick.
This is the best backup plan ever, by the way. The backup plan was a flying ship that was better than their original
ship. Why didn't they just make this plan the plan?
Yeah, why wasn't this their main plan?
Dude, pirates have... Dude, they got style, man. You'll see.
They do.
Suddenly, a squadron of hang-gliding battle mummies whizzed past the ship, scoring direct hits on the hull. Under their wings were strapped wizards who were shooting magic missiles at them. Crow's Nest, man the harpoon minigun, shouted Whitebeard as he spun the ship's wheel hard to port. Crow's Nest mounted the harpoon minigun and started shooting faster than a premature ejaculator at a jizz off. He scored a direct hit on one of the hang gliding war mummies, causing it to explode as the mummy's skull flew at the camera like all 3D and shit.
Oh damn, just like in Mad Max.
Just like at the end of Mad Max. Don't get cocky, kid, Whitebeard said as he flew the fuck out of the ship. The war mummies mounted another offensive as the wizards shot more magic missiles. A large explosion rocked the ship. Finally, Crow's Nest turned and fired a volley of harpoons at the remaining squadron of war mummies. With one carefully placed blast, he shot them all down with ease. Almost two with ease. They're getting away, my queen, shouted a mummy minion as the queen stood and watched the airship fly to safety. Yeah, but you have to admit, they're getting away in style, she said with a hint of pride. And you also have to admit, that Whitebeard sure knows how to lick an old mummy's dried up old box.
Whoa!
She finished. I mean,
whoa!
It just looks like an open box of old raisins down there at this point. Finn.
Just some info on her. Just to wrap up this adventure, she says to a friend.
Just confiding.
Just being like, yeah, you know, he is crazy. And this is my state.
Here's what's going on with me.
Well, back to my throne. Josh, you ready for my story of ships and mummies? Also part five in my story.
Oh yeah, okay, I'm super
ready.
Yeah,
this is the conclusion.
I'm ready. I'm super ready.
This story is called Back in the Saddle.
great Aerosmith song.
It was twilight in Orkspire as the full moon shined down on the castle of Count Encrusted. Inside, a black saxophone floated around Count Encrusted's bedchamber, playing a wicked remix of Sade's Smooth Operator. It's time, boomed a voice through the wooden door. Then you could hear clothes being torn off in one motion. This was followed by some very uncomfortable grunts and struggling. Ah, gold plated! The door ripped open with Count Encrusted in nothing but a black towel.
Ooh.
I can't fuck these golden crystals, said the elf to a spider who had been waiting outside his chamber. They have too many edges. You were supposed to bring me gold bars, coins. We monsters only value treasure as a whole, explained the spider. Gold, jewels, relics, it's all the same to us.
Mm-hmm.
There's unfortunately no way for us to differentiate the different types. It's just the way we are. In fact, I'm not even sure what the concept of economy is. I just know I need treasure bad. Leave me, demanded Count Encrusted as he turned away. Hey, man, I thought we were friends, said the spider hurt. I'm going to forgive you for this, because I know you're my friend and all. That's why I work for you. If you're not my friend, then you're not paying me, and that, my friend, is illegal.
What a rational spider.
Well, he's just giving him the benefit of the doubt, you know, because Count Encrusted was like, hey, tell all the monsters I'll be their friend if they come work for me. And monsters, they don't have too many friends. They
need
value
it.
That.
Yeah, they need they friendship. Need yeah.
Finally alone, Count Encrusted cracked open a cask of blood and poured himself a late-night naked glass. Why do I even do any of this? The Count asked himself. Flashback to when Sir Encrusted Gemini was a child, sitting on one of many golden rugs laying about in a huge parlor in the Gemini mansion. His beagle, Petey, beside him. His father walks in. Daddy, Daddy, shouted the young elf. Come look at the trick I taught Petey.
Oh my God.
Sorry, son, replied his father. Gold is the only important thing in life. Here, this one can be your mother. Father reached into his back pocket and handed a gold bar to the motherless boy.
Oh,
love this only.
Oh my God.
Forever. The elf stared at the gold bar. He brought it closer to his face, rack focus on his reflection. Flash slightly forward to young Sir Encrusted and his father sitting across from each other at a very long golden dinner table. Sir Encrusted is now wearing a gold evening robe with a hat that was dipped in gold. His father brought a golden fork dripping with egg yolk to his lips, paused, then threw it back down on his plate. It's high time we golded that dog! No! Shouted young Encrusted. Not enough gold things in this house! Shouted father as he got up and went outside, oblivious to his son. Flash slightly more forward. Lower me into the gold, boy! Shouted his father with a crazed look in his eyes, suspended above a huge cauldron filled with boiling gold.
This is fucking great.
You do it next! It's probably going to be fun! Gladly, said Sir Preston with an evil golden twinkle in his eyes. He didn't forget about old Petey. He dropped the rope attached to his father. Gold! Screamed his father. It's so gold! Now I'm fucking Dracula, said Count Encrusted in his black towel. Fucking shit, he added.
He just thought about his entire life. Also, that's some super Freudian shit going on there with that gold mother, man.
Dude, I don't know.
That's some fucking...
I'm just going to leave it up to you guys.
Holy shit.
Elsewhere in the castle of Count Encrusted, Mildew, his servant, was addressing a crowd of skeletons on the first floor. He held a gross-looking scroll in his, for some reason, dripping hand.
Due to budget cuts, he began, the estate of Count Encrusted can no longer supply bones to all of its employees. Therefore, the following employees will have to start throwing their own bones.
Mildew squinted at the damp parchment he was holding.
Skeletons, he read.
Aw, come on, shouted a skeleton. They were pissed. Are you kidding me? Said another skeleton.
Yeah.
The dude fucks gold. He can't afford bones for his friends.
Can we not talk about the Count's girlfriend that way? Asked Mildew politely.
Yeah.
They call gold his girlfriend.
Yeah. Mildew, his now faithful servant.
Yeah, and when are we going to hang out with this guy? Asked another supposed friend.
Yeah.
I've been meaning to read this book on using a lathe for a while now, but I'm waiting to read it with him, and he won't return any of my bone calls.
Bone call.
As Mildew was about to make up some excuse, a ghoul casually walked in from the stairwell and interrupted him. Hey, so a guy on a wooden cycle rolled up to the castle, and I thought he looked pretty scary, so I figured he was probably coming to work for old Dracula, you know? So I opened the gate and let him in.
No.
What did he look like? Asked Mildew.
Like a dwarf with, like, a bandolier of stakes, said the skeleton.
You fool! That's probably the guy who killed Count Encrusted when he was sand-crusted!
Exclaimed Mildew as he hobbled off to secure his master's quarters. He developed this hobble in his transition to Dracula's gross servant. It's sad. It's a sad thing.
Aww, he just works too hard.
He does. He does. Mildew reached the main hall and fouled Dagger kicking monster ass.
Yes!
The dwarf super kicked a ghoul's knee off, then stabbed another skeleton's neck, then spun around and threw Dagger across the room, stabbing a painting of Count Encrusted in the eye. Then a cyclops fell through the painting because, yep, he was peeping through the painting.
A cyclops.
A skeleton tried kickstarting Dagger's wooden cycle, but the dwarf dropped the diamond cutter on his ass.
Oh, shit.
Then the dwarf hopped back on his hog and revved the engine so hard that a real-life Frankenstein got scared and ran out of the castle.
Oh, my God, dude.
Dagger roared up the stairs toward Mildew.
No!
He screamed.
Don't run me over, then peel out on my body!
That's exactly what the goddamn dwarf did.
Holy shit.
Dagger rode his bike through the castle up to Count Encrusted's quarters. He hopped off, and Ghost rode the hog into the elf's
Ghost
bedroom
rode.
Door, which exploded.
Holy shit.
Revealing the Count enjoying another glass of blood in his black towel.
Whoa, hey, what is going on here? Who ghost rode this wooden cycle into my door?
Asked the elf. Dagger walked out of the smoke caused by the explosion.
I'm your worst goddamn nightmare,
said the dwarf. He slowly approached the elf, stake in hand.
You, that dwarf who I let live for some reason when I killed his friend,
said the vampire as he backed up toward his window.
That's about as far as you go, rogue, said a voice behind the two.
Dagger turned around and saw a pretty buff mummy with a sword.
What?
That there is my friend,
what?
The mummy continued. I taught him how to sword fight when we was ghosts, and in return he taught me how to do yo-yo tricks so I can get girlfriends.
The mummy stepped closer.
Girlfriends who will cook and clean for me.
No, shouted Dagger. You just want slaves, and that's not what a girlfriend's supposed to be.
That's true.
The dwarf threw a stake at the mummy, but he deflexed it with his bicep.
Whoa, deflexed it.
I had my boys wrap me tight,
said the mummy as he flex-rolled his entire wrapped body. He strutted toward the dwarf. Dagger threw another stake at the mummy, but he deflexed that one as well.
Out of stakes, the dwarf looked about the room for something to defend himself with when he spotted a golden whip mounted to the wall with a small plaque underneath it that read, World's First Gold Whip Used for Sex.
Wait, is it the first gold whip or the first gold whip used for sex?
I think the latter.
Okay. That makes sense.
Dagger leaped toward the whip, grabbed it, rolled into a great somersault, and whipped the whip so damn awesome.
Oh, man.
You think I give a frickin' frack?
Asked the mummy as he continued toward the rogue. Dagger pulled the whip back and threw it forward, cracking it upon the mummy's chest, easily breaking his tight wrappings open.
Mm-hmm.
"You son of an itch," said the mummy as he inspected his wound. "It took my boys 3 hours to wrap me tight." Dagger used the whip again, this time hitting the mummy right in the tit. "Oh, shit," yelled the mummy in pain as he fell to the floor. Dagger kicked him toward the count's fireplace where his foot caught fire. "Shit," yelled the mummy. Dagger dropped down and smoked the entire mummy like a joint in one goddamn hit. And let me tell you, that mummy was dank.
Oh, man, that's so cool.
The dwarf got back up and found a gold curtain fluttering in the night breeze. Count Encrusted had escaped.
Oh,
the elf ran through his courtyard as skeletons, ghouls, and other monsters working at his castle came out from their posts to see him. "Hey, Count, I finally got those breadcrumbs I ordered so we can feed ducks next weekend, old pal." "Just signed the lease on my new dungeon, and I'm ready for you to help me move all my moldy furniture into it, old buddy."
"Old buddy."
"I need to practice kissing on someone before the big dance, Dad." "Don't call me Dad," Count Encrusted yelled back to a crowd of monsters now chasing. Dagger followed suit, whipping any skeleton who got in the way to bones. "You'll pay for Stinky's death, you elf-ass son of a frick," yelled Dagger as he drew closer to the count. He was trying to cut it back on cursing these days.
Yeah, that's good. That's good.
The vampire entered the docks of Talandrul as a misty fog drifted in. Waves splashed about as the creak of a massive wooden ship could be heard drawing closer as something pulled into the docks. Probably a ship. A badly damaged ship emerged through the fog, sails torn, steered by the souls of pirates lost at sea. Count Encrusted stood at the edge of the dock as the ship's captain, a green ghost with a large pirate hat and beard, peered over the edge of the ship and spoke.
"Arr, we heard that someone was being friendly to monsters and such, and figured maybe some old ghost could get some of that buddy action."
"Yeah, sure," replied Dracula as Dagger drew closer. "Just let me up." The ghost pirates threw a badly frayed rope ladder down for the elf. He ascended quickly, though he could have just turned into a bat and flew up there. But he hasn't been Dracula for that long,
yeah.
So, you know, he just didn't know all of his
skills.
He's
not in that mindset yet.
Yeah. If he was thinking about it,
yeah.
You know, he's panicking, too.
Yes, he's getting chased.
The count climbed aboard. "Man, we are going to be great friends," said several members of the ghost crew at the same time. The elf dusted off his towel, then asked, "You guys wouldn't happen to have any gold coins laying around or anything, would ya?" The ship left dock. Dagger finally fought his way through the desperate crowd of monsters just to see the ship disappear into the fog.
No.
"Well, at least I kicked a ton of ass today," the dwarf said to himself. The end.
Dude.
Post-credit scene.
Oh.
Cut back to Dagger at the docks of Talandrio. "Also, I will devote my life to hunting that guy down." The double end.
Is that where the story started, on the docks?
Yeah, it started on the docks.
Dude, that's great. Dude.
Yeah, it all kind of tied together, you
That's
know?
A great story. Holy shit. Also, ghosts just need friends, monsters.
They just, all monsters, they think about monsters, everyone's scared of them.
Yeah.
You know? So when they hear that they could go work for Dracula, the monster, and that he'll be their friend, they're like,
they jump on that.
A friend, yeah.
Yeah.
So the thing about being a ghost, by the way, is that you try to go see your friends, and they're just frightened of you.
They're just pissed. They're mad, and they move out and stuff.
Oh, my God, it's so sad.
They
You're
move
like,
out?
Oh, man, I came over, he just moved out. Yeah. What the hell?
Yeah. Just trying to say hi.
Just trying to say,
sup,
Bulo. That's how go say hi.
There it is.
That's it. Cut. Thank you guys for listening to yet another episode of Fantasy Fiction, and apologies that it was late. We apologize, guys.
But it'll be worth it, we promise.
Two guys that want to apologize.
Apologize.
Apologize. But what we were working on will be out at the end of the month.
Yeah.
At the end of September. So you can find that on the Continue Show channel, as we said. And we'll probably mention it again when it comes out. So
it'll be, yeah, it'll be everywhere.
Also, guys, if you donated to the Patreon, the rewards are coming. I've already sent out a few of them.
Yep.
Unfortunately, the shoot has kind of moved things around a little bit, but we'll have your rewards before the end of September. You'll get your rewards for Patreon. And you'll also get a Wizard Hang episode this Monday. Yeah, what are we going to talk about, dude?
Anything. Probably Patreon. Magic.
Probably magic. Probably something with magic.
Dude, silver? We don't talk about silver a lot, but I do love me some silver.
You know what? Silver's real nice, and gold is the nicer one.
But yeah, but silver looks nice. Silver's nice.
Silver's cool.
Yeah. I'd take some silver. You got any?
Okay, silver talk. That'll be topic one on the Wizard Hang. So, guys, get ready for it.
Get ready for all your silver knowledge. It's coming.
Oh, yeah.
It's an element.
It's good. It's going to be a good one. But we'll have that up Monday for you guys. And if you guys want to support us, you can check out patreon.com/fantasyficpod. And there's a ton of fun stuff on there. Go ahead and check that out. You can see a video of my face talking to you. You can also, guys, you can stop by fantasyficpod.com for a link to our store where you can buy t-shirts. If you want a Battle Cake t-shirt, a Keep On Wizarding t-shirt, a Keep On Wizarding bumper sticker, a Buff Cat shirt, some pins.
So many things.
So many things, guys, and we're going to have Druid Academy stuff on there soon.
Yes.
But Josh, do you have anything else to say to our kind-hearted listeners who waited so patiently for this episode?
I'd just like to say thank you for being patient, and thank you for everyone who listens to the show, everyone who supports the Patreon, and anyone who just laughs at any of the things we say. You're the greatest.
Yeah, thank you so much for listening, and thank you for letting us know that you enjoy our jokes. One of my favorite things is when people just tweet randomly lines from old episodes.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun. Recently, it's on the Fantasy Fiction subreddit right now, but somebody did a song that I had sang in an episode, and I had forgotten about it.
I had no idea.
I listened to it. I listened to his version.
Yeah.
And I laughed pretty hard.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll play it on the next episode. I'll have to write him to see if that's okay.
That's okay. Yeah.
Because I didn't get a chance to do that because of the shoot and stuff. But yes, guys, hey, stick around for the Wizard Hang. Maybe we'll play it there.
Maybe.
But yeah, guys, thank you guys for listening once again. Check out all that stuff we said, the Patreon, nerdprops.etsy.com, all that stuff, guys. And most of all, Josh,
What are we doing? Are we doing the end? Most of all, keep on wizarding.
Yes, keep on wizarding.
Shoot.
You know what? I wonder if I should sing a song. Should I sing a song
from
the show?
Sing it.
After all this time, there was nothing ever to be afraid of.
Yeah.
Nah, I'm not going to do that today. Keep on wizarding, everybody. Have a good week. We'll talk to you in a couple days on our Wizard Hang. See you soon.
Bye.